A very good morning to you, Namibia. Good morning, my dear listeners. Welcome to Eagle FM. Thanks for joining us this morning, and thanks for choosing Eagle FM to be in your company at this point in time. So thanks for joining us, and welcome. It's a Tuesday morning, the 2nd. We're just right at the beginning of the month of June, right in the middle of the year. It's the 2nd of June. The year is 2025. So welcome to your number one talk radio station. And thank you, David, for handing over the mic to this part of the world. So we're coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio, and I will be with you from now until the hour of 10 o'clock, when I will be handing over to Tate Naluvanda or to Tate Franz for the next program, which is Kuthamosha. So make sure that you are tuned in for that show as well. That's going to come up around 10 o'clock. So good morning and welcome. And it's a nice Tuesday morning. Cold, not cold. I think cool is the word, not cold, but cool. It's a nice and cool weather this morning. Hopefully, I hope they aren't really part of the country that is so extremely cold so far. So I haven't heard anybody complaining actually that they are part of the, wherever they are, their region is actually cold. So yeah, so it's the beginning of the schools, you know, and winter. It's funny, it's getting darker as well. So it's cold and darker, two things that are, you know, cold and darker in the morning. So it's winter. It's coming slowly by slowly now. It's here. But here, what I have found in the north, you can actually go through winter without really, you know, for years now, it hasn't been really, since I have been in the north, it hasn't been like, you know, there will be days. Of course, there are one day or two that, it's really cold. But overall, you can go through the whole winter without really heavy jackets and, you know, sleeping under 5 or 6, 7 blankets. So, yeah. All right. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. My name is Michael Chevelli. And this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is going on in terms of business, economic and political news. And every day we cut through the noise. We cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends and numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear, a little witty sometimes, and always what we do here, always ask questions. We are curious, always being curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect of those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space. So this is your platform to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories with me, with moi. So 8 minutes past the hour of 8, and thanks for choosing us, and thanks for choosing Eagle FM to be in your company this morning, and for tuning into Unpacking the Day. So as usual, what we do, we start looking at what happened on this day in Africa. So welcome to On This Day in Africa. So on this segment, welcome to this segment on This Day in Africa. So let's take a look back at the history made on June the 2nd. The history that is made on June the 2nd. So first we go back to 1900. On this day, on the 2nd of June, 1900, the famous West African leader, Samori Toure, you know, died while in exile. So he had been captured by French forces, but he is remembered as a hero. So he founded the Wasolo Empire, and led one of the longest and strongest military fight against the French, you know, against the French expansion in Western Africa. So yeah, today we remember Samori Toure, who died on this day. All right, who died actually in exile. So, and moving forward to 1999, on this day, South Africans voted in the country's second democratic election since the end of apartheid. Now, it was a major moment for the nation. The vote led to Thabo Mbeki, becoming the new president, taking over from Nelson Mandela. And finally, we look at Egypt in 2012. On this day, a court in Cairo sentenced former President Hosni Mubarak to a life imprisonment, in prison. He was punished for his role in the killing of protesters during the 2011 Arab Spring uprising, which actually had him, which had forced him out of power. Well, I think that's all we have. That's all for today's look at history. And thank you for listening to On This Day in Africa. All right, today's Tuesday, and normally here on Unpacking the Day, we're looking at the thought for the day. What is our thought for the day, this Tuesday morning? There is an African proverb that says, stealing the village drum is easy. Okay, stealing the village drum is easy, but finding a place to beat it peacefully is the problem. So that's an African proverb which saying stealing the village drum is easy, but finding a place to beat it peacefully is the problem. Now, what that problem reminds us is that doing wrong may seem easy in the moment, okay? But living with it is often much harder. So living with that guilt is actually much harder. So a stolen drum makes noise wherever it goes. So sooner or later, people start asking questions. So the same happens in life. So you can take shortcuts, tell lies, or gain something unfairly, but peace of mind is difficult to find when you are constantly looking over, you know, when you're looking over your shoulder all the time. So the real success is not just about getting what you want. It's about being able to enjoy it with a clear conscience. So today, my friend, choose the path that lets you sleep peacefully at night. Choose the path that lets you sleep peacefully at night, because a clean heart is worth more than a stolen drum. And that's our thought for the day on Unpacking the Day. So, good morning to you. If you're just joining us, welcome. And looking what we have for you. Yesterday it was Monday, and we had the villager. We didn't look at any, there are a couple of stories that we didn't look at yesterday's because we looked at some other stories. Please, if you're looking for the latest business and economic news, get a free copy of The Villager. So make sure that you subscribe to get a free copy of The Villager. And what you need is you're just sending a WhatsApp message with your name and email to 081-241-44, and you know, you subscribe. So The Villager is published every Monday, Wednesday, tomorrow, and you must now subscribe today. Make sure that you subscribe now, actually, so to get your free copy of The Villager tomorrow. Okay, so to get that tomorrow. So published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So make sure that you publish. So the story we're looking at today, it's a front page yesterday in the Villager. Want us to look at that and also other stories that are in there. So, all right. So, so I will let you know what is on our menu after this. Stay tuned.
Omudia would take a kabuna e matina omjo. Chica was a fat and anana longishifa. Yeah, she became what she wanna.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know, you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the you in UNAM is you.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back, and thanks for joining us. If you're just joining us now, and you are tuning to Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. All right, so we're following two stories today. I want us to follow two stories in the villages. One is the story of the construction of the Tunda feedlot, you know, in the Kunene region, scheduled for completion by October or September, around there, which will actually add, the whole idea is will add value to Namibia's livestock sector by improving cattle quality and supporting farmers as well and strengthening the competitiveness of the nation's beef industry. So we're going to look at that. We're going to look at and go a little bit into the story itself and look at how this is going to happen. So, and we have also a story, and this is very widely covered, you know, around many platform, the National Energy Fund's substantial surplus, you know, which had enabled the government actually to absorb fuel price fluctuation and protect consumers, is now nearly, you know, exhausted. It's nearly the well. It's drying up. So it's exhausted due to escalating global oil prices triggered by, you know, by the Middle East geopolitical tensions, which still continues. So, and that actually has necessitated urgent government intervention to secure affordable fuel supplies and stabilize the economy. And we're going to look at that, how the government is doing that. Okay. So yeah, stay tuned. As you can see, this is a really topic that, that very close to you, close to that matters, not close, that matters to you. And, we're going to look at that. We're going to look at that right away. Make sure that you unpack that with me. So stay tuned. We'll come back in a sec.
Omudia would take a kabuna e matina omjo. Chica was a fat and anana longishifa, yais, you get moshiwana. E moyao, or tango got some money. Anagashifa, yanamibia, ombitom banawa or chica. The Ethanina omaguro need antitoma, yue, yongishifa yo kupitira mo igle fem media house. Go to end the team, meha u kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi fareki wimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, onara heta tuimu. tatundatu heari hamano tano o niaji. Eagle FM, the eye. My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, that's very true. If you want to advertise your business, or have your event function or a workshop or a conference, anything, or a real time that you want that actually done in a real time, you know, a real time exposure via live streaming or broadcasting. So, well, contact our office, 083-288-400. So 083-288-400. All right. Welcome back. And a very good morning to you. If you're just joining us, welcome back to Unpacking the Day. We're coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio. So today we're going to talk about the Etunda feedlock project. This is a story that is actually making headline, actually making the front page of the Villager of yesterday's edition. Please make sure that you, as I said, you subscribe and go through that stories, you know, and see what are they. Read it for yourself and find out what is really going on. So, yeah. So we're going to talk about, the feedlock project, Etunda feedlock project up there at the green scheme, between Omsati and the Kunene River. You know, that's where Etunda, somewhere there. Now, you know, Namibia is a cattle country. Yeah. Ask any farmer from Opuo, Gobabis, to Outapi, you know, cattle are not just animals. Eh? For us Namibians, you know, cattle are not just animals. They are wealth. For us, cattle are wealth. They are status, you know. When you have cattle, you have a status. You're somebody in that community. And they are also school fees. Those cattle are school fees. They are funeral fund. You know, they are wealth. As I said, they are wealth. Now, and on the national level, beef is one of the few products that earn us real foreign currency, you know? And in 2025 alone, Namibia pulled in over 2 billion Namibian dollar from beef export. So, and we are the only African country allowed to sell beef into the European Union, to China, and to the United States. We're the only country, you know, and that is a serious, you know, that's a serious badge of honor. Hmm? I would say that a serious badge of honor, really. So, Namibia is a cattle country, I would say that, and it's they are wealth. For us, Namibia, they are wealth. I just want you to understand from which perspective we're coming from. Now, but here is now the painful truth. Okay? Here is the painful truth. And this is where our story today actually begins. Now, for many years, the way our beef industry works has been upside down. Okay? I'm calling it upside down. Okay, maybe you don't see it the way. It has been upside down. A farmer in Namibia raises a young animal, you know, a winner, you know, these are referred to as a winner. Feed it, water it. No, it's not a garden. You can't water it. You know, give it water, you know, protect it from drought and diseases. And then what happened? So that's why I said this is upside down. So then what happened? That winner is loaded on a truck. Most of the time, it's loaded on the truck, driven across the border to South Africa. So then fattened in South Africa feedlot. Then it's fattened in South Africa feedlot, slaughtered in a South African abattoir, and sold back to the world as a premium, as a premium beef, but it's from Namibia. The value addition, the real money, you know, happened there, not here. And this happened in everything. When you look at in everything that we do, that our resources, we always giving them out. We always dig them out, you know, ship them raw. And we do exactly the same thing even in this sector. Yeah. So we give you an update of how many winners that are actually sent to South Africa, that are actually sold quarterly to South Africa and all that. So you should follow that. You realize that we do that in every sector. So we do that. The fattening that is done actually in South African feedlot, and then is slaughtered in South Africa abattoir. And then that meat, which is a Namibian meat, now sold back now to the world as a premium beef from South Africa. So the value addition, the real money, as I said, where does it happen? It doesn't here. And that takes away our job. It takes away our job that we're talking about. And we talk about, you know, value addition, and you don't seem to see anything that happened adding value to our resources. Now, so when the government now announces a feedlot at Tunda, listen carefully, because this is supposed to be the answer to this problem. It's supposed to be the answer to exactly that problem, to that wound, because it's a wound for Namibian farmers. It's supposed to be the answer. So now President Netumbonane Ndaitwa recently visited Tunda, and during that visit, she was shown progress on several projects, including something that could transform, really. I think that could transform, in my point of view, that could transform how our cattle farmers do business. So I'm talking now about the Tunda feedlot project. Okay, so yeah, no. Now, for those of you who might be asking, what is exactly a feedlot, and not all of us probably understand that. Now, let me break it down for you simply, okay, so that we are on the same page. Okay, now a feedlot is basically a specialized facility, you know, it's a specialized facility where cattle are brought in. You brought them in, fed a controlled diet. You know, you put them on diet. You fed them, fed a controlled diet, and prepared for market. You know, so, well, it's not about keeping them in a small space forever. That's not the point. It's about giving them the best nutrition possible, so that when they go to slaughter, the meat is of higher quality, and higher quality means a better prices for our farmers then. So that's what this facility does. That's what it's all about. Now, cattle from the north, you know, cattle from our northern farmer will be now brought to a Tunda. They will be screened for disease. They will be fed scientifically, Now, they will be fed scientifically, you know, proper rations and proper weight gain before they are sent to the slaughter, okay, before they are sent to an abattoir or something. So they will be fed scientifically, all right, because what we do with our cattle, we don't feed them scientifically. We just whatever they eat. Eh? So that dirimoni mbodi mwedina dipumboguri. So yeah, here the facility would then, you know, fed scientifically. You know, here it will be done scientifically. So that's what the feedlock is all about. The facility will have, according to the article also, the facility will have veterinary services. That means there are people that are trained, professional that actually look after the whole thing. So they will have veterinary services, a feed processing room, equipment workshop, staff houses, and few minutes when we come back.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right, welcome back. Okay. Yeah, Imba, for example, I as I said, that's something I can attest to. Last weekend, Sunday, I actually went to church, and I was using my Imba. You know, I look cool. So make sure that you subscribe. Huh? You download Imba app. Yeah, so it's very handy. I can tell you that it's very handy. So, yeah. Now, so I was just saying, you know, according to the article, the facilities will have the veterinary services. It will have the feeding, you know, the feed processing room. It will have equipment workshops, you know, staff houses, even a post-mortem section. So, well, construction started in June 2024, according to the article, and we are told it is 32% complete. Why do people use this kind of language? 32% complete. That means is 68 incomplete. So 32% complete. That means is 68% incomplete, and it should be finished by September. It should be finished by September. So, and I think there's a. Okay, there's a contradiction. Yeah, I'm catching. Did you catch? There's a contradiction here. The headlines say October the 26th. The headlines said October 2026. The engineer says September. So the article itself say September this year. So, all right. So which actually month? Which will it be done? Is this October or September this year? Now let me give you, the bigger picture, okay? Because the official statement leaves out hard part. Okay, let's look at what this is all about. Here is now the reality. You know, Namibia feedlots have struggled to compete with South African feedlot for years. Yeah, we really struggled where we have the feedlots. Why? Because South African feedlots can pay our farmer more for their weaners, for their animals, than our local feedlot can. So the South African have cheaper maize, you know, bigger scales, and a domestic beef market of 60 million people. So we have 3 million. So here's the question. Okay, here's the question I want every listener, every one of you now to think about. So what is going to make, now we have to think now, okay? Think. So what is going to make a tunda feedlot actually different? Anything that now, that would make you think, okay, that's going to be different. What do you get? What would make this different? I'm looking at the competitiveness of that. As I said, our feedlot have really struggled to compete with South African feedlot. So anything that would be different from now. Now, maybe the question that we need to ask is that, will the government subsidize the feed? So will the government subsidize the feed? Will Midco, for example, be obliged now to buy from a tunda fest? So these are some of the things that need to be in place. Will Midco be obliged to buy from a tunda fest? Will there be a price guarantee for the communal farmer in Kunene? Now, think of this. When the farmers will walk, I think, depending on, you know, there are other challenges that the announcement is good, but there are other challenges. Now, so what I'm asking, will there be a price guarantee for the communal farmer? Say, for example, in Kunene, who walks his cattle for, let's say, for example, for 2 days to get to that feedlot. Or will this become, it could become another beautiful building. We have seen this. Could be another beautiful building with the ribbon cutting, presidential photograph, as we have seen in the newspapers and in the news. And then gone quiet. Empty. And I'm not being cynical here. I'm just really, it's an experience, you know, it's something that we used to. Eh? And these questions are necessary. These are necessary questions. Now, let's talk about, the reason why I'm talking about this, that also, let's talk about Kunene specifically. Okay? Maybe some of you haven't been in Kunene, because the headline says, Kunene region to get its feedlot. That's the headline, you know? But the other thing, but wait, a tunda green scheme is in Omsati, not in Kunene. It sits near Rakana, along the Kunene River, which is the border. All right? So they're confusing me. But it's in Omsati, I'm thinking, yeah. No, so this feedlot is serving Kunene farmers, or is it serving? Well, is this feedlot now serving the Kunene farmers or Omsati farmers or both? Yeah? Which one probably? So, and how will, now the thing is this. Think of this now. Okay? If it's really in a tunda. So think of this. Himba or Herero cattle farmer from deep inside Kunene. From deep inside Kunene, from a poor, from a pupa. Yeah? So how will he get actually his animal there? So how would he get his animal now there to a tunda? What about the road infrastructure? Now, think of the Kunene farmers now, the road infrastructure now to the, you know, the trucking cost. Think of also the trucking cost. The watering point along the way, because your animal need to drink. Eh? When you look at Kunene is one of the driest region in this country. It's one of the driest communities, you know, and it has been battered by drought after drought for some years. So our farmers there have lost cattle in numbers that would make you cry seriously, you know. So a feedlock is only useful, I think, a feedlock is only useful if the animal can reach it alive and in good condition. That's the thing. If it can reach it alive and in good condition. It's only useful when its animal can reach it in that condition. So now I ask again, has the logistical chain been planned? Now the logistical chain has been planned. Or is the feedlock, is the feedlot just a building? Because you have to think all these kind of things. Yeah? Logistic chain, has that been planned as well? How do we get our animal to the feedlot, to the facility? Or otherwise you will have empty building. You will have an empty building. So, but let's also give credit where it's due. Let's also give credit where it's due. If this feedlot is, if it's run properly, the benefits would be real. The benefit would be real, tangible. Okay. Fattening cattle locally means we keep the job here. So like I said, the competition, much of this, we send our animal to South Africa. So if we are fattening cattle locally, it means we keep the job here. Like as we have seen at the facility, there are so many things that need to be done. There are so many activities and so many people. So employment. So we keep the jobs here. So you have the feed mill create work. You know, the feed mill create work. The veterinary. I don't know why I have a problem with this word. The veterinary, you know, veterinary service create works, you know. The slaughter chain that eventually connect to, let's say, to Midco create works. You know, the rural economy from Sati and Kunene get a heartbeat. Eh? They get a heartbeat. It has not had in a long time. So there would be really, you know, I think so. To revive some kind of activities in the region. So, yeah, the economy of those regions would really get some heartbeat as well. So, yeah, I think, as I said, there will be, if it's run properly, there would be tangible benefit that we can see. And there's something else, okay? There's something else. The European Union. So, because I think that at a facility like that, you would definitely want to operate on an international level as I said, the European Union is bringing in a new regulations, the EU deforestation regulation. That demand full traceability of beef. Okay? Every animal must be traced from birth to a plate. You know? You trace it from birth where it was born to the plate at dinner. Yeah? So I think a controlled feedlot, you know, with screening and record keeping, I think fit that requirement much better than the loose informal supply chain we have now. You understand? I think that would put us, you know, in a framework of other market. So a tunda could actually be a ticket, could be our ticket to another market, you know, Chinese market or US market, whatever, or AU, the Middle East countries or whatever. So that is the optimistic side of the story. That's my optimistic side of the story. So, but now I can also bring you right on earth. Let me bring you back to reality, back to life, back to reality. Yeah, let me bring you back to earth, okay? Now, in the first half of 2025, our beef export dropped, right? The first half of 2025, our beef export dropped from nearly 11,000 tons the year before down to 5,400 tons. 11,000 tons the year before down to 5,400 tons. That's almost half. Now, China is asking us for 20,000 tons of beef per month. China is asking us at 20,000 tons beef of per month. And we are only managing about 8,000 tons a year to EU. Now, the demand is there. As you can see, the demand is there. Like China is asking about 20,000 tons of beef per month. And currently we're only managing about 8,000 tons a year to EU. So the demand is there. The bottleneck is our side. The bottleneck is on our side. So the question becomes, is one feedlot at a Tunda enough? Or is this a drop in the, like, it's a drop in the ocean? So where is the national? I think the question is, where is the national livestock strategy? Where is the national livestock strategy? Is that the right question? Where is the national livestock strategy? Where is the matching investment in the abattoir, for example, in cold chain, in shipping logistics? A feedlot without a slaughterhouse, you know what they call a slaughter house. Yeah? Without a slaughterhouse, it's like a kitchen without a stove. Yeah? It's like a kitchen without a stove. So, and one more thing, my dear listeners. Let's talk about the grapes. They're also grapes, and bananas. Let's talk about them briefly. Okay, and I'm bringing it because they are part of the same story. Okay, if you look at the same story, there you know find those grapes and bananas mentioned there. Now, the grape manager of a Tunda told the president they need help. So he said, "Wait, we need help with pest control." They said they need help with pest control, fruit flies. He said specialists from the private companies are too expensive. Now, I was so excited about now when I read the story. I was so excited about this feedlot and all that, and then when I read that, it's kind of like flashes in my head when I just read that part of the story. Now, and I really want you to think about it. So, some of us mirror to know me the dapota. Okay? Oh, no, that's just being a journalist. Okay? So it's now Podaka. Now, the green scheme has been running for years. So that's what I thought. Okay, the green scheme has been running for years. Pest management is a basic agriculture. Yeah? Management. Pest management is a basic agriculture management. If we cannot, seriously, and the disappointment for me, I think, when I read that, is that if we cannot even sort out fruit flies on a 15 hectare of grapes, seriously, if we cannot even sort out a fruit flies on a 15 hectare of grapes, how confident should I be about running a complex feedlot operation with veterinary screening, feed formulation, and disease control on a hundred of cattle.
it doesn't give me confidence. Honestly, it doesn't give me confidence when you cannot even sort out fruit flies on a 15 hectare of grapes. That, it doesn't give me confidence, seriously. So, I'm not saying it cannot be done. All right? I'm not saying it cannot be done. I'm saying, and this is very important, execution matters. Execution matters. Okay? Promises are cheap. Believe me. And that's the problem we have in Namibia, implementation. As I said, execution matters. So promises are cheap. Are made every day. Yeah? We run around making all promises. Delivery is very expensive. Promises are cheap, but delivery is expensive. And that's what we see. That was we see with so many of these green schemes. We have been pumping money into those schemes. Seriously. And sometimes, I think, what do they say? The pin just have to drop. The pin has just to drop. And kind of like really re-evaluating, maybe come up with some other radical approach. We spend money in buying machines. And next thing you hear, this machine is not working. You know, this machine is not working. Too much of electricity. It's electricity taking up much of our profit. You know, water issues and all those kind of things. And we don't seem to really, we spend so much money, but we don't seem to get something out of it productively. Okay? The president is actually going around looking at, of course, at the beginning, she really asked that there must be some investment put into this as a green scheme. I think she's going around looking at how far, you know, the progress in terms of those investment. If you listen to her, she says she's very happy, you know. And, of course, a politician will always be happy.
Okay?
No, not always be happy. The president, when she was there last time, she was not happy. Okay? She said she was not happy. She's not happy with what she sees. And all so let's trust the president here when she says she's happy. Maybe things are all right. But the problem I have always is this, you know. You never really get to know the scale in terms of, okay, this is our target. And how much is actually the productions? This is our target, and how much is the product? For us as a community and as a nation to be able to evaluate correctly, to evaluate, should we continue actually investing in it? Because as we can see the input that we put in, you know, and what we get out, the output, there is a gap, you know, there is a gap. And then we said, look, we're actually operating on loss, maybe. We could be operating on loss, but we keep putting in money. Eh? We don't get all this information. You are just told, yeah, we're doing very well. This is how much that comes out, but how much you expected to come out. Eh? If I get 20% of what I expect to come out, that's absolutely nothing. That's failed. Eh? It has failed because you spend more to produce less. Okay. Now, so as I said, so execution matters, really. Execution matters. So promises are cheap, but implementation or delivery is really expensive. Okay. So before you come through, let me put this big question on the table for our to debate today, or maybe looking at. So now, will a Tunda feedlot pay our farm? I'm looking at some of the things that we talked about, the highlight, because that are very challenging, you know, when it comes to keeping this, you know, this actually sustainable. Will a tundra feedlot pay our farm a price that beat the South African feedlot? Or will our winners, the winners, keep crossing the borders? Because then, if that's the case, it will end up a ghost building. It will end up a ghost building. And will we run this feedlot? Who will run actually this feedlot? Government? Would the government actually run this? A private partner will run this? A cooperative? Do you remember AgriDef? Is it AgriDef? Do you remember AgriDef? Yeah, government parastatals. Do you know what they have done? When they were running, actually the parastatal, they were running the green scheme. They were managing the green scheme. When they come in, everything just gone the down way. AgriDef, yeah? So that's very important. Who will run this feedlot? Government, and we have seen what happened. Private partners. So if it become private partners, who will benefit, you know, from that? A cooperative? Now, this is very important because management decide where it lives, whether it lives or dies. Yeah? Management actually decides whether it lives or dies, depending who runs the feedlot. And believe me, that's very important. So who run this? What do you think? Is one feedlot actually enough? Or do we need a network? Kind of like we need a network of feedlot across Kunene, Kavango, Zambezi, Omaheke, you know? Shouldn't we have kind of a network of this, of feedlot across the regions? And the biggest, you know, yeah. And the other thing is this. With this project finally, because the whole idea is that we want, and this is something that we keep doing, as I said, in every resources. Now, will this now project finally turn Namibia from supplier of cheap raw cattle into a producer of premium beef? You know? A premium beef that carries our flag into Shanghai, Berlin, you know, New York, eh? Would this now, you know, finally turn Namibia from a supplier of cheap raw cattle to South Africa and turn us into a producer of premium beef? Eh? So that now would actually carry our flag into other country, in European country, maybe to China or to, you know, to, yeah. Whatever country, you know? So, yeah, those are some of questions. So what is your take about this? What is your take about this feedlot project in Etunda? So our telephone number is 08333-66091. So what is your reaction? What is your take? 08333-66091.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chika osha faa sana nana nongeshi faa ya eshiwike moshi wana. Iye moya o, ota ingongoti samwene. Anangeshi faa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro ni randito ma yoe, yongeshi faa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tu imemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, konara heta tuimu. Datu, hiari hamano tano, oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye. My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back. And just maybe to round up of the of this segment, the story of the Atunda feedlot, I think it's a good idea. All right. I think the Atunda feedlot is a good idea on paper. So on paper, it ticks the right boxes. Okay. On paper, it ticks the right boxes. It ticks the right boxes of value addition. It ticks the right boxes of job creation. It ticks the right boxes of food security. It ticks the right boxes of export competitiveness. Okay, export competitiveness. So, yeah. And the other thing is also it speaks to a real painful problem in our economy. A real painful problem in our economy. So we have been selling our cattle cheap and buying our beef expensive for too long. So we have been doing that. So, but a good idea is not a finished project. A good idea is not a finished project. So we have seen, as we talked about, we have seen green scheme before. Yeah, we have seen this. We have seen ribbon cutting, you know, before. We have seen that. So we have seen presidential visit before. And what we have not always seen is delivery. That's what we haven't always seen. Delivery is what we haven't seen. Sustained, a delivery that is sustained. So look, talk about any other green schemes that we're talking about. We're talking about delivery. What we haven't seen is delivery that are sustained, that are profitable, that are farm-centered delivery. Eh? So that we haven't seen. I'm cautiously, that's why I'm saying this, I'm cautiously hopeful, underline the word cautiously, I'm cautiously hopeful, but I'm watching with, you know, I'm watching with both eyes open. Okay? And you should also. I'm watching with both eyes open because we have been there. And I'm asking you to watch with me, okay? I'm asking you to watch this with me because this is your money. It is your money. This is your land. And this is your beef industry. So let's watch this with both eyes open. And the only way Atunda really become a real success story, do you know why? Do you know what would make that a really success story? The only way, maybe not the only way, but the only way Atunda becomes a real success story and not just another half-built, you know, dream in the dust or something like that is if the public, you, the farmers, and the press, us, keep asking the hard questions every step of the way. You know, if we keep asking questions every step of the way, that's how can become a real success story. So we don't just let it slide. We just don't read the headlines and then, okay, the next time after 2 or 3 years is when we come back asking question again. No, constantly asking the question every step of the way. So that's how it becomes a real success story. So what is your take of the Etunda feeding feedlot? So what's your take on the Etunda feedlot? So you can come through. Our telephone number is 08333-66091 or 08333-66091.
Omutiha utekirwa kabuna I matina omjo chikao shafasa na nana longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene anange shifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa olonjika zeitha nina omayakuro nirandithoma yoe yonge shifa yoe okupipiramo Eagle FM Media House ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina Kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yo mo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konara hetatu imwe. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano o niyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Morning, sir. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
Yes, very well.
I haven't had you for ages.
Yes, no, I'm still around, doing very well.
Yeah.
Yes, let me contribute.
Oh, no, first, go ahead, man. Go ahead, my friend.
Yeah, I've been thinking about the role of government in business.
Yeah.
And I tend to agree with you that there should be efficiency. And there should be productivity.
Yeah.
Etunda and also the feedlot are businesses which need to be carried out after a market viability study has been conducted. I was listening to you and I tend to agree with you that you must have a return on investment.
Exactly, yeah.
You see, we have these projects. The other time I was watching the news, they want to do dairy farming. They want to bring in Namibia back.
Yeah.
They want to build stadiums. We have so many projects in mind.
Yeah.
The point here is that in business, business is about profit making, and governments are known to be inefficient and ineffective when it comes to delivering, when it comes to business projects.
It's true, yeah.
The issue with government is there to deliver services because of market failure. Now, when it comes to the feedlot, you need to know how much.
Explain that point. Explain that point to our listeners. When you said because of market failure, what do you mean by that? That's a very important point.
Market failure, we are talking about providing services which otherwise cannot be provided by the private sector.
Yeah.
Issues such as health, issues such as education, issues such as infrastructure, issues such as electricity.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the private sector is not going to provide these services to the market at a cheap and acceptable rate.
Yeah, yeah.
Therefore, you have the responsibility of government. Market failure talks about what governments provide in terms of service delivery.
Yeah. Mm.
To the market so that people should have access to the basic services.
Yeah.
So I tend to agree with you that we need to be scientific in our approach because we have these many ideas.
Mm.
We have many ambitions. Although sometimes we have political pressure, we are facing unemployment. But I think before a project has to be undertaken, we need to satisfy certain criteria. Number one, market viability.
Yeah.
Which means you must be able to have a return on investment and you must satisfy the needs in the market. There should be a demand.
Yeah, yeah.
For those needs. And the price that you are going to set should be able to enable you to pay all your expenses.
Yeah. Maybe one question that I want to ask you then is, do you think there is a need of a feedlot in the Etunda or in the northern area? You know, of this
so.
Facility.
I don't think so.
That's a point, yeah.
I don't think so because people there do not support commercial grazing.
Yeah.
People there rely on communal grazing.
Yeah.
Now you need to arrive at the figure as to out of, say, 300,000 farmers, how much are you going to generate?
Mm.
How many are willing to buy animal feed from you?
Yeah.
It's the same argument with an abattoir. An abattoir needs to have cattle ready for being slaughtered.
Yeah. And it's already a struggle at this part of the world. It's already a struggle in the north.
It's a struggle because the culture there is not a culture based on slaughtering every day.
Yeah.
So you need to do your research concerning consumer preference. You need to do your research concerning market research.
Yeah.
The price, the return on investment. You need to do your research concerning your break even because you need to break even. You need to make profit.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, and you must also have cash flow and reserve. Contingency funding. Just for you to have cash. There should be cash. Government should not always be coming back.
Yeah, so it should be sustained. It should be profitable. It should be a really profitable service delivery. Yeah.
And I think we should be strict because money is scarce.
Very.
Resources are scarce. We cannot just implement projects in order to satisfy the electorate that government is doing something.
It's the same problem. It's the same problem that I have with this green scheme. We have been pumping money into green scheme. The idea is actually food security and food sustainability in the country, but we don't see something sustainable and productive coming from these green schemes. You know. But we have been pounding money year after year. It's not only this administration. Previous administration have done the same thing. And they were collapsed completely. And now we are reviving them without exactly what you're saying, with studies and with research. We don't do that. We just pump money into it.
With the green schemes, you need to have access to markets.
Yeah.
You need to, your overheads should be low. The products that you are producing should be on demand to satisfy the market needs of the consumer.
Exactly.
You need to specialize in products such as potatoes, carrots, green pepper.
Mm.
And the other thing is for you to also allow private, do you call them freeholders?
Yeah.
The private sector is more efficient. My point is that there should be a partnership between government and the private sector, but you should enable the private sector as the engine of growth.
Yeah.
To manage and to lead these businesses. I don't think that government is efficient. The government garage has collapsed.
Yeah. That's exactly the question I was asking. Who is going to manage this, you know?
Yeah. Private sector is just invest private sectors. We have a lot of graduates from Ohongo. You have a lot of graduates from New Dam.
Mm.
Incentivize these people so that they should run the green schemes for you. Let them do them because the risk is more on them than on the government.
Yeah.
And they are technical, they know the price of pesticides, they know the price of fertilizers, they know the irrigation system, these are private people who would go to Agribank for a loan,
yeah,
and who would produce monthly with a monthly target of making a profit. Or also a break even for them to be able to pay for their overheads.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Now, am I talking to Zakaria?
Who?
Zakaria.
Is it Zakaria?
Excuse me?
Is it Zakaria speaking?
No, it's Venu Wanga.
Oh, okay, yeah. What was your question?
I know, I was just wondering because sometimes I talk to Louis and
okay, yeah. Now we don't have Louis. Louis have just left us. Louis is no longer with us anymore. Yeah.
Is she no longer there?
Yeah, no, she's no longer with us, yeah.
Oh, okay, no, that's fine. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. No, thank you for your contribution, really. It's very, very, very helpful. Yeah.
But the hard questions need to be pressed, my brother. Just continue pressing the hard question for us to give direction.
All right. No, that's thank you for encouragement. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Great. Great. Yeah.
Okay. Bye. Mm.
All right. 083333. That was a really good input. That's very, 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 really good input. That's what I always say. Please, people that we only facilitate the show, ask the questions that probably, you know, cause your reactions. Yeah. So yeah, I love that input. There was really, really, really good input. Yeah. On the show, on the topic. Yeah. As well. So 083-66091. 083-66091. You may come as well. You know, the thing is, guys, you know, and it's one thing that, as is always, that I wouldn't say frustrate me, but when you look at realistic things, as we talk about now, we're talking about Kunene, for example, just Kunene in terms of logistic, in terms now bringing the, and he also mentioned a very good point. So where I ask the question, is this facility, even if you, for you, think about it, is this facility really needed in the north? Is it needed in the north? Given this, I mean, as it's good that is, you do your market research, do your research, you know, before you actually spend money on facility like this, and then they end up becoming, you know, a ghost building or something like that. And he highlighted quite good points that he made in terms of, you know, traditionally, you know, and how long you'll be able to feed this feedlot with enough cattle so to be able to slaughter and other things, to do what you actually need to do on the facility. So, yeah. Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, Big Mike.
Good morning, man.
Morning, how are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
I like the last caller.
Yeah.
He just hit it on the nail.
Exactly.
And there's some people with you, we need jewelry to participate every day.
Yeah, yeah.
And though, you know, they are sometimes because of maybe work and so on. Yeah, but seriously, I'm glad that the people are listening.
Yeah, he just put it right. He just created an angle that's very important. Yeah,
That's very important. Yeah, now you can tell that that is what we need.
You know what? Sometimes the thing is this: what we do, and we just claps. We just clap hand and say wululululu. You know, great.
Yeah.
But we really don't, as a citizen, for us. As much as we said, well, that's a very good idea, as we talked, as I go through this and said, well, this is a good idea. But there are issues.
Exactly.
And then
instead of just clapping and you know yourself that, hey,
yeah.
Later on is where you are starting to think about, like, to work, if we have not tell them with.
It's Nastal Dam point two. Yeah.
And this is one thing I think, just maybe somebody is also missing a G-Wagon to drive. If you look into the manual they are involved in.
Yeah.
Because the output, then you look the way input is supposed to be.
Yeah.
You can tell that no. Something is not okay here, because remember one thing that, Mike, for you to come up with that, first of all, you have to think about even like a fodder.
Yeah.
And we are talking about just to feed the animal.
Yeah.
The fodder alone. Because remember one thing that we, especially the Kunene area, is where now the land is not laying anymore the way it used to be.
Yeah.
Now they are having drought in and out.
Mm.
Yeah. And now, you are talking about even like the communal, where our cattle can just go everywhere.
Yeah.
You remember the other time that they even end up eating what? Skeleton.
Yeah.
I don't want to mention, but it was reported in the media.
Yeah.
My friend, the thing is that our government, maybe they know how to waste money in unnecessary things.
No, the thing is this, you know what I have discovered is this, you know, I'm coming up with a very good idea. I'm coming up with a good idea, you know, and because you, the government representative, you don't know really what involve, you see that it's a good idea, but you don't go to a length to understand it completely.
So
you understand?
Exactly.
And then the other thing is that, you know, you are pressed, like what he said, you are pressed, politically, you are pressed now to show some kind of
delivery. That doing something.
So when you realize, well, this is a good idea that shows that actually would create jobs. Yes, initially may create jobs, but how long you can sustain that? You know, for how long you can be able to sustain that? So that's normally what happens. They don't have an understanding, a length understanding of a business understanding how this would turn out. The other one can, I mean, if the fund are coming from the government, for example, if I can get this for 5 years or 6 years, well, I would make money for that period, eh? And gone if it doesn't work later on.
Exactly, disappear one time.
Disappear.
And this is what I'm saying, somebody needs him, he want to drive a G-Wagon. Because people can have a good incentive, will they know, in the long line, when is the problem come, I'm already gone.
Yeah, it's an attitude where this is not my money, you know, and I'm making good money out of it, you know.
Yeah.
At the end, if it doesn't work, well, I walk out free, you know.
Exactly, it's not my problem. Yeah, it will not be my problem anymore.
Exactly.
And this is what example I'm giving you to when it comes to Nectar Dam, how much money you spend in there? Huh? And look now, what is happening there? Nothing.
Yeah. What happened to AgriDev? AgriDev, that was actually managing a green scheme. It screw up everything, and nobody,
big time. Nobody, not even one person is being arrested.
Exactly. You know?
Nothing. There's no accountability at all.
Huh?
Last time, even we heard that there are some cattle, even like from the they die even for thirsty. Just imagine, nobody's taking care of that animal for and somewhere in Rietfontein where we used to be. And now, my friend, me, I don't understand anymore where we are heading, seriously. Because look here, Mike, if you set up a green scheme for you to provide the food security of the country, special living, you can start now. We understand now that the market has been followed by with product from South Africa. But we can penetrate, like in school, hospital, you name it, prison.
Yeah.
They can be fed by local. It doesn't matter, like, why you have to get a tender again for a person who doesn't produce anything, just a middleman, who's going to buy the some of the retailers?
Yeah.
That's what we have, Just imagine a guy doesn't even a bakery, but he's tendering, then he's going to buy the bread in OK. Or shop bread.
Mm.
To take it to Engela style, or to take it to Ponofi. Come on, guys. It's a hard time. If I'm staying in Wangwena, let me have a bakery so I can supply Ponofi. I supply Engela, or I supply what? Madikange.
Yeah.
No. And that process, that person is able to recruit people in the locality. Now we are everything, we just focus on South Africa. The more we demand it from South Africa, the more South African produce are producing more, the more they are creating more job.
Yeah.
This is what is happening.
Yeah.
This is what is 35, 36 years.
But the thing is also, Mandume, you know, we're talking about value addition, diversification, and, you know, especially value addition. What do you see on a really scale where you can see, man, there is something that we do to actually then, we're talking about it. Every minister, everyone officially talking about a value addition. We shouldn't just send our raw material outside and blah, 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 blah. But there's nothing concrete.
Nothing. We're just
done.
Talking.
Yeah?
We are good in talking, but when it comes to practice, we are something else. We do something else.
Yeah.
A feedlot is
something that is accepted. But is it in the right place? Is it in the right place, though? You know?
No. The thing is that if the aim it was for the country to rely on their self-production, especially when you're having a market in Europe and Asia and the American.
Yeah.
For you, first of all, what you have to start here is to, for you, allocating the farms who are there. People who are already doing farming. Not this substantial farming which I'm staying in Windhoek, then I have a cattle somewhere. And I don't know what even happened to my cattle.
Yeah.
We are talking about the people who individual them. What you do? Maybe give them the right bull, since this person is already having 20 cattle, and you give them 5 years. Because now we are talking about the field for long line.
Mm.
Then you tell them, even educate them, this is the right method of feeding your cattle. This is what you have for bookkeeping. This is what you need for leisure.
Yeah.
This is what... Then at least, because now we are talking about the market outside, and the market outside, they require all the details about your cattle.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, that's why you always they prefer to what? They say grade one or whatever.
Yeah.
Always.
You actually give them, you kind of like train people in what you require so that when the product comes, it's actually
Before you establish even the what?
Yeah.
The abattoir. Because that one is just going there. People, they may take their ghetto until they get one of... How many ghetto are even in that area?
Yeah.
Would you able to stand A?
That's also the research that he's talking about. How many kettles are actually in the area? You know, to be able to use the facility. You know, I'm because you might put up the facilities and
then
you're
people. Having a get one ghetto today, yeah. Day tomorrow there's nothing. And then what? No man.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying this tendency of Namibian will come up what is what they call them these fingers. A finger or what, A team or something.
Yeah, yeah.
No, you get this hard time I think the accountability must take place. If you set up that then the next tomorrow is a white elephant, then you must also go to jail.
And sometimes
there's
they
nothing
were
for
even,
anymore.
I do
like
ask
you are driving
also.
Your D-Wagon, then you end up even leaving this country to go and stay somewhere in Monaco like other people, what they did. Really, I think it's a hard time. People are doing something really like just imagine like negative. What was all about? We should spend 7 billion. And just 7 billion can do a lot of in this country.
And sometimes, ne, you do ask. Sometimes you look at the president actually doing the right thing in terms maybe putting up task force. You know, there are task force that would help
me now just dealing task force, with. What we call, yeah.
It would help me actually now in terms of certain, you know, business or sectors or whatever. But now things come up like that, and then you realize, okay, where was our tax force? We come back after this. Just hold on.
All right.
Imba yirire omba nai epetwa weda ko ombunikiro ombe ombi hukusha njiviro yoye irire ombupu ohatane na wina ikare no matha ko murungu wa indu walirongere kusha umune ondengu okura ko imba una ovyune dia peke ko gondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe mumwe sto pika ovinki no kukara no rupa ondando ya peke yukia nja oshimariva owa peresente dano kumyeze vitatu moshimariva owa peresente umurongo kumyeze hambu umwe moshimariva owa peresente umirongo ivari na dano Komiedia mulongwa na vivari moshimarifu. Itororera ondengu jima yu ungura na wakove na wina wanyano kife. Ashiesho imba ye kupe oshimariva shishihina omarifiro. Imba o maoronga neno uye uha kainina. Itako na wina rishangita jinon.
Yeah, so welcome back. So I'm really tired of these doctors online that get their doctorate online and we think that they know what they are doing, you know?
you are not the only one. A lot of us, because everybody now these days are just doctors. Doctor,
and
doctor,
they're just
who,
getting
doctor
their doctor online and then we think they know what they are doing.
And the other women wonder what kind of doctor is when
they're just messing up.
So what? Just a doctor for?
They're just messing up our country, you know.
Which is true, my friend. That's why I'm saying. Sometimes our government is saying we waste money on unnecessary, because sometimes we don't conduct the do you call it, public
consultation.
Whatever. Consultation, yeah, because. Yeah. You come there, the problem also is public consultation. When you come there, you are like a preach.
Yeah,
you don't even give people a chance.
Imagine if you have a public consultation when it comes to green hydrogen, for example. The person is coming just doing PowerPoint presentation, and you have no idea. You have
no idea
what he's
talking
about. So what would be your contribution? It's actually just ticking the box to say, yeah, we went to the community, we discussed this with them, and, you know, it's just a whole question of ticking the box.
That's the problem.
So first, you need education. And then when people now know what is this all about, then they can be able to participate. Otherwise,
That is what is the problem. You end up eating something with you. You never experienced even with the
that's why we end up complaining. We at the end, we say, this person is not working or whatever. But we were just following the majority.
Exactly, that's the problem. Serious, America, something needs to be done, man. No, we cannot just continue wasting money for unnecessary stuff. Like now, it's a good thought to think about, yeah. But for you, if you go to technically, then you look even like the way, like how long it's going to last. Yeah. It's where you find yourself like, no, something wrong here.
Yeah.
And now, if you're having a tax force, what is their job really?
Yeah.
If they are not going also to find it, because we, like us, maybe like you, Mike, you can understand it because you guys were educated. You also doctorate. But us, laymen, I can understand this again. This thing is not going to last for any, not even a year. Because I can see just like myself, I'll see how many people are having enough, keto to keep that up to our learning.
Exactly. Just the abattoirs themselves. Just the abattoirs, you know?
Yeah, itself. How many people are going to be employed there? Where's the, if the keto are there, is the keto enough for the market? I mean, they are fit for the market.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about even feeding themselves, feeding alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
If this keto able to, who's really able to even to take 100 keto, like after 2 months? And this thing which is supposed to be done already, like, the other that they will left. He's talking about even like, well, I don't give a chance to a student who then graduated from Hongo to Nodam College. People are there, Mike. Some of them, they are not even having a proper job.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, they're just running around. And some even, we put them in the office instead of them to be what? In the field.
Yeah.
Educating even people.
I mean, imagine if you put up a facility like that, you cannot just... You know, in you, people will be there even if they don't have work to do, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm telling you, sometimes and then we waste money for unnecessary. Like now, what are they supposed to do? First of all, Mike, like now, just example, Mike, if you are coming to set up even a tax shop, first of all, what you have to think about? You check. How many people are there buying bread every day?
Yeah.
Okay. How many people are always looking for even cooking oil? How many people are able to take credit, maybe even like a pension, able to pay at the end of the month?
Yeah.
First of all, that's the research which you need. Just a simple tax shop. Yeah. But just maybe you are putting up tour, but you don't know how much people even, how many cattle are there in that region. Hey, how they are feeding their cattle. How many cattle have been injected, like ammunition, whatever we call it?
Yeah.
That's the problem. Up to now, if you ask those people, they never have it. I'm telling you, just even they say, no, give me a record of what, how many cattle are there, who's going to supply you, where they are feeding their cattle, they feed their cattle with what? They don't have those, the detail. I'm telling you, but you are putting up something costing a lot of money for government money. With that money can tend to do something better.
Yeah.
Anyway, Michael, let me give other people a chance.
All right, man. Thanks for coming through.
Cheers.
Yeah. 0833-66-0991. We're calling, we're coming to you live from the Ondangu studio. A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Morning, Mike. How are you? Yeah, your question that whether there is a need for that, I say for me it's affirmative.
Yeah, no, definitely there's a need. The need is there.
Seriously, yeah. Because especially this time around where the rain, of course, the people might harvest well in the terms of mango and other products, agri produce. But then when it comes to animals now, the cattle and all these things, this is already showing some needs, some signs of having some kind of drought when it comes to animals.
Yeah.
So the livestock. So there is a serious need for that. So that even within our subsistence farming, because we are now talking about turning some of our land into commercial viable kind of business venture.
Yeah.
So the problem
is that even within our cultures, especially in the north, we don't even take our kettles to the abattoirs.
Yes. So that is now the kind of education or awareness creation that we need to embark upon. So that when the situation is now showing this kind of sign, maybe droughts, likely to hit, especially on the thing. Mm. But this drought is not going to affect people from having their, what is it? Because there are many people have produced from as a mahangu and all this maize or whatever. But in terms of the livestock, the animals, we are going to face a big problem. One, there's no water.
Yeah.
And again, there's no grasses around. I'm not going to be able to do it.
Oh ne o feedlock kwa pumbwa inameno ili monga eshita uya kuye kwa pumbwa, he need them actually to be in a certain condition to get it to actually have it, you know. So that's other problems. Yeah.
So we should now educate ourselves and campaign, and maybe the government should have that serious. I know they have that program. So of saying okay, because of this situation, the probability of us having this situation now. It's going to be worse. So can you say some of your things? And then when the situation becomes normal in the near future, then you can also go to those people because they just sold their cattle or whatever because of this, no other option. So then you now say, okay, the subsidized price.
Exactly. I mean, no, definitely I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. Is that because we in the north we are complaining to say our meat are not exposed to foreign market. So and this is one of the facilities that would help actually, you know, to create those kind of things. So and I agree. It's just that have we addressed some of the challenges that are there. So. Or otherwise, you put up a facility. The facility is needed. You put up a facility, and it becomes a building ghost.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, in fact, that is what has happened to most of the abattoirs and things like that.
Exactly.
But the market research has been done. The needs are identified. We all know that we have got needs here. Or who doesn't need shoes? Or those from Karakula factories and these other things. Who doesn't need all these Britongos to be all over, even at our many, maybe at Ongodiva or even Mungurume Dasai? Who doesn't need all those community development projects that can generate income for the people? So we need just to maybe mobilize ourselves and convince ourselves and say, yes, come at Tundago, come at Tundago, national. So people work with, collaborate with the traditional authority and things like that. And then we convert some of those open spaces into this animal feed or whatever that you're talking about. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thanks for coming through, eh?
Good.
All right.
0833-66091. 0833-66091. We're live. All right. Okay. What's the time? 42 minutes past the hour of 9. And feedlot, that's what we're talking about, the Atunda one. Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Feedlot or what? that's a dead dream, man.
Yeah, so... No, what is your thought, man?
The way it looks, it cannot, it's not a market or bendable thing.
Yeah.
It looks like it's, because if you look at the way it is, address it doesn't really changing the farm, the cattle farm.
Yeah.
So if you ask a person to sell a calves or a calf to you, and how much is that, and what quality of that meat grade can give to that cattle or to that calf?
Yeah.
So that is another challenge, which is we don't know, because I cannot sell my calf to 5,000, which I don't know which grade it is.
Yeah.
So if now it came like $16,000, yeah, that is a better thing, because I'm buying two of them. But if you bring now the winner one, which is now maybe weight.
You sound foul a little bit.
Maybe it's the phone. Now?
Yeah, okay. I can hear you, but yeah.
Still. Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. So the winner one maybe is better, but now the KG. Because of most of our cattle, you cannot compare our cattle, our Nguni cattle with the one that is in Omaheke, for example.
Yeah.
Or the Shimba cattle in Opuo. There are totally different, but the quality meat is totally different also.
Yeah.
So how are they going to assess that? Because that is where the problem is. People in the north, I remember when Meatco was there to looking for a cattle. That is what one of the challenge. The cattle is small. The meat is a grade A or grade B.
Yeah.
But he wanted to give a person 2,300. So while the one that you are getting, the Afrikaner or the Bosmar or the Baumana, there, you give according to the grade of that meat. Some are finding them, they are going up to 36,000. But ours are the down one. So if the feed rot can be feeding my cattle,
yeah,
that one is another proposal. I can just bring my cattle to that feed lot.
Yeah.
So they're growing there, and then I go look in my own market. If I saw that your offer is too little.
But would be then done on a price?
Yeah, that one can be. It can be because,
yeah.
Remember the feed lot, the one I saw is $10 per cattle, I think, per day.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, $10 per case. It's not the first time I'm come across with the whole information. Said it's costing about $10 per day.
Yeah.
So if I bring mine that I'm planning to sell for them to growing there for 3 years or how, I don't know.
Yeah.
So that one, it can work, because I know my cattle, they often, the abattoir slaughter is the day I'm getting my money. That one I know it profited me.
Yeah.
But if you want me to say I'm selling my calf to you, and then you growing it, and then at the end of the day I'm getting 100,000 out of my cattle that I sold.
Exactly. Yeah.
That one is, you come to robbing us our cattle. That's how telling us that.
Yeah.
So there are no clear picture on that one.
Exactly. Mm.
And they must come up with something. That thing it will die. The money will go on for good.
Yeah.
Because nobody will bring his cattle there.
Yeah. So this is exactly as I said, it's exactly a good idea, but I think there hasn't been some kind of research that has been done. You know?
No.
Especially when it comes to the north. Yeah.
Yeah. They find it somewhere in Asia, or I don't know, or Australia, but it's not on the market where you wanting to mobilize or helping the farmers. Cannot work. Because the farmers, they are already scared of your price.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't, they don't sell it into Mitco. Why? Why not? It's because of those price that is people buying a cattle, and he wants also to make money out of my cattle.
Yeah.
So he give me $20. In the receipt, he make it $80. The $60 go to his pocket, and Mitco paying the $80, while me, I get it $20.
Yeah.
So those the, are the problem
the other
that
thing, the other thing are just as just logistic of getting your cattle to, you know, to the feedlot. If you are deep somewhere in Opuo, in a Pupa or something like that, how do you get your cattle to a feedlot in a tunda?
As I said, it's not something. I don't know, because feedlot that I saw is the cattle that we feed.
Yeah.
It's for somebody.
Yeah.
You bring your cattle, because we want, look at this way. Maybe when they pitching the proposal to the Minister of Agriculture, maybe they pitch it differently.
Yeah.
Because if we are avoiding the, for example, the drought or whatever, that one I understand that, okay, we have somewhere where you can bring your, it's like a hospital now. Bring your cattle, we monitor it, and then we look at it as it's fine.
Yeah.
It's the same if you want it to take in our, that one is not even better than the quarantine one.
Mm.
Because the quarantine, I bring my cattle, you quarantine it for 21 days, and then you testing it, if it goes through that it doesn't have any problem, I get my money. That one is a better one.
Yeah.
But this one, you buy it first, you growing it,
yeah,
and then
the whole idea, the concept already does it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
No, let's not entertaining things that we know. But this is Namibian. They think these people are dumb.
There will be money spent. Believe me, there are money being spent in that.
Yes, the money is spent there.
And sometimes you ask yourself. I sit here and ask yourself. I don't have a knowledge of this, but I see this going wrong already. You understand? Where? That's why I ask. Where are the people that are tasked to look at these things? We are the people that are tasked to look at these things.
Yeah? You go to Tate and you are telling him the story that Tate, sell me your keto, I'll go feed it.
Yeah.
Sell. That is selling story. So what am I benefiting for selling and with this feedlot thing? What am I benefiting? Because you are robbing my keto now. How much are you buying for?
Yeah.
No, $800. And then what is that feedlot benefited me. After you sell, will you bring in another money or what?
Yeah.
So those are the, Mike. Thank you.
All right, man. Thanks for coming through.
Right.
Yeah. All right. We still have about, still have about 8 minutes. So our 833-66091. We live. And, you are welcome to come through. If you want to, add your opinion, your reaction as well. All right. Let's have a quick one and then we come back.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I Madina Omjo. Chikao shafa sana na na longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moya wo.
Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Bon dia, familia.
Bon dia, gusta.
Bom obrigado, tudo bem?
Tudo bem.
Yeah, I would like also to ask a question.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm not getting it right. Are you guys are you guys against the feedlot?
Not in generally. Not in generally, yeah. as a, it's something that actually needed. But
yeah.
You know, it's where you actually putting it. It's where you put the facilities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, where you know that, you know, let's say, for example, someone give an example of a duck shop, you know, where you know that there's already a big Let's say, for example, where you know people here won't be able to buy bread, won't be able to do, but you put it up anyway. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you may have people who come, some few people who come and buy, but mm-hmm. in the long run, you won't make any profit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the issue here. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think different.
Okay, no, that's fine. Go ahead.
We have issue because we cannot reach the market system when come to the red line issues.
Yeah.
But I think on the long, it's always difficult to start, but when you start on the long run, you will wake up on the system. Because if this thing starts like this.
Yeah.
You know? And come with a lot of following up systems, which will help you for you also to understand the market system. Because now, if you want to sell the meat, your cattle, because if you go to the north now,
yeah.
we don't know even a value of how much you can sell a cattle. Anybody having his own price.
Mm.
And which are ready, we won't take us anyway. But I think at this system, if we put it in this system, the wrong idea, the right ideas and the right complaints on this system, they will help us for us to understand the system of this market system of the meat. Because at the end is like, how can they put the red line cattle header on this system for them to make money?
Yeah.
You know? Yes. But because, I know they will come with the system to make us understand, because we just are still in the cultural system to just raise cattle for nothing. But the system is like it's there to make us understand for us to have, if you have, let me say 20 cattle,
yeah.
you can live on it. You can send your kids to school. You can do, you know, A B C D. I think. We need just to put the right cry to quote it to Ramalela Moshi Mashi or Pashike or Kwashiwana Vagalema now. But if you say you are not happy with it, I'm not in your sight, but
there's nobody who says not happy with it. We just look at the challenges, you know, in terms of the concept of the whole project. You know,
yeah.
that's where nobody exactly said, no, this is not, this is not a good idea. You understand?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know that, Magne?
Yeah.
You remember the issue of, the elders should get money through the non-post. And people, they were so angry to say, no, how would the other one gonna, you know, but, you forget, like to say, for you to get your money through the system of non-post will help you for you even to get loans or whatever you want to get loans. You know? Now, for you, when you get money just in the paper, on the envelope, you cannot do anything.
Yeah.
You know, can't do anything. So, the same thing with this field. I think, I'm just happy for these things to come up.
Yeah.
And, we'll learn from it and we put our ways not helping our people. The aim is to help our people for us to have also a hand on the African market or even European market if it's possible, you know.
Yeah.
Because now it's difficult for us to sell meat out of the country, and you are not making money.
Yeah.
You know.
Now you got a point. Yeah.
Yes, just like you know that, Mike, you know when we sell our chicken or shawambo chicken,
yeah.
200. But how, you know, you want to be a billionaire by one day. But if you go to the shop, you find the same chicken is $50.
Yeah.
You know, talking about system, so we need to also, instead of us getting angry, it's better for us just to see how these things will take us. Where will go? It's like you want to buy a tire, a tire.
Yeah.
That your car is having a new tire. You know, you should look, where are we going from here? What do we want for our people? That's the best thing to think. Just look at our green scheme. They are not totally 100% are doing well, but open them where you all of them.
Eh, all of them. When you look at when the green screen stuff started, you know,
yeah.
It doesn't mean it doesn't produce anything. No, that's not what
yes.
It doesn't mean. You know, it doesn't mean it doesn't produce anything. It does produce anything, but not to the capacity what it was meant to, because of other issues
you.
That we are not addressing. You do you understand?
I got you, Rademek.
Yeah.
I got you.
So,
you know, Rademek, no? Yes. Okay, finish your point.
Yeah. Oh, no. What I'm saying is that, you know,
yeah.
we're looking at, especially at product that actually we buy from outside that we could be producing exactly
yes, yes.
in those green screen, you know?
Yes.
And,
mm.
Then we found that there are issues of too much electricity that we are not be able to produce. Our markups is actually being taken by electricity, water issues, machine issues, and all those kind of things. So what we're saying, what we're then looking at is that if we want to do this, let's do it properly and do it right, you know, not where...
Yes, no, I got your point.
Yeah.
I got your point. You are right, but sometimes we need also to give time to things to wake up. If you go back, ne, before the leadership of Meme,
yeah.
If you go to Etunda, ask that information to say how many people they were working in Etunda. If you get today, there's a difference.
Yeah,
now
we
have bananas.
Okay, we're running out of time. But the thing is this: even at the beginning, when I can understand that things can. We can buy the machine and all this and this and this, but then
yeah.
in 2 years or 3 years or something like that, you realize
yeah.
those machines are sitting same when we're not repaired, they are broken. We go back to where we were. Do you understand?
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
We see there is something moving at the moment, you know,
yes,
but
yes,
we
yeah.
have seen that before.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that this is something new. We have been there
yeah.
before. So the question is always,
yes.
always, we want something that is sustainable. Can we see this as a sustainable project?
I go to that, make,
yeah.
But there's a big, big difference. If you go now to this guy, what name the remaining of this Etunda, his name is like something like that. If you ask him, how many times this guy used to write a letter to the Minister of Agriculture for this guy to have a proper system for him to go on with his green scheme was very difficult.
Yeah.
But today is different. So I'm talking about that. So there is a move. Which are not that as successful, but angengo
yeah.
what I'm putting on now.
Yeah, no, that's what
yeah.
we want. That's exactly
yeah.
what we want, you know. And if
yeah.
we see that, and if people see that, that's actually going into the right direction. Then. All right.
Yeah. No, I think okay. I think I will end up here. Let me get just one. Or are we running out of time?
Yeah, we run out of the time on the show. Yeah.
thank you.
All right.
Yeah, to that difference.
Yeah.
Fala, bom dia. Tô aqui à espera dele.
Okay, goodbye, man.
All right.
Great. All right. And that brings us, to the end of Unpacking the Day. And I think Kutha Mosha today is Tate Kauluma, probably who's actually taking that this morning because I see him. Outside of the studio, he's probably the one who is actually going to take over at this point in time. So thank you for those who took part in the program, in the show this morning, and for your contribution. This is what this program is all about and what this all our program is all about. And I ask you to continue listening to the next program that is coming up. And that is Kutha Mosha. And I think Tate Kauluma is the one who's gonna, lead that, today. So from me, Mike Oshoveli, Tate Kauluma will take the seat in a moment.